Welcome to Mark Langley's Horsemanship Podcast. I'm Jenny Barnes.
And I'm Mark Langley.
Thanks for joining us, Mark. You're sitting in a car in Victoria, I gather.
Yeah, I'm in Mansfield, Victoria. Just about to head off to the next destination. We're playing at Winchelsea. Just finished a two-day clinic here. It's beautiful in Mansfield. There's where we were there was, you can see the snow, not the snow on the mountains yet, but you can see the Victorian Alps just there, and beautiful spot.
Oh, lovely. You've got good weather, I think, coming up for this weekend, which is good for everyone. Okay, we'll hook into the questions. The first question is from Michelle. She needs advice on becoming a grounded tree. She was walking her mare back to her yards and she took fright from her neighbour's sheep and ran past her very fast. She became a tree with roots in the ground, changed her breathing and her body to a low, quiet tone. However, she tried the mare kept trying to running around her. What should she have done? Should she have blocked her from running? And if so, how should she have done this?
When you're really grounded, now grounded doesn't just mean, standing like a tree sometimes. Sometimes you can sort of walk and be very calm and strong in your intention. And that can help horses. But, what you said, it's probably would have been better to block the mare block that thought, I suppose, not necessarily block it, but distract that thought. So, when a horse is sort of very distracted and it's causing a lot of anxiety, you've got to do something big enough to reset their thoughts so they can sort of connect with you again. So all you're really wanting to do is bring their thoughts back to you. So they can, see and feel your calm and you can sort of reset them a little. So there's a couple of ways you can do it. Like there's a common way that you may see on some of the videos and where I'll just have a flag. I just kind of got a bit of hard plastic kind of on the end of a, like a dressage stick, I suppose. And I just give it a very effective pop. And that often is enough to reset a horse, but it has to be, I guess, big enough to distract them. So an effective distraction. You don't want to be sort of just wiggling it around going, hello, hello, hello. And sometimes end up sort of troubling the horse more or, aggravating them. So it's got to be sort of like a lightning strike, done and dusted. And then as that horse's thoughts come around, they see you nice and calm and centered. And then you just got to put yourself in a position that you can get them maybe even to follow your feel if you walked a little bit or if you were standing like a tree and they can sort of just calm with you. But very effective distraction. You can also use the rope, so I know, when I watched, Harry Whitney, he sort of wears leather chaps, so he just hits the rope on the leather and it makes like a loud clap noise, and that's enough to distract enough horses just to get them to reset their thoughts a little. I don't wear the leather chaps so much, so sometimes I've got a good aim now because I wear a my boots are a little bit longer, so I'll pop the rope on my boot because the boot's got a bit of a shank on it, so I just sort of bang that. But if you're a bad aim, you might end up bruising your leg. Banging the rope on the ground is one thing. The only thing is sometimes people get very animated when they do it to get that rope on the ground, so it's a little too much kind of jumpy body language in it. But, and the other thing you can do is you can put a feel up a rope, so you just sort of put a bump on that rope just to reset them a little so they stop running around. That can be very effective as long as it's not done as a sort of a chastise sort of bump, 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 bump until you put a brace in the horse or make them scared to feel. So it's got to be a quick and effective bump but I don't suggest people who've got heavy clips on their rope start doing that. It's because, as I say, you don't want to hurt a horse to get their attention. You just want to put something there that's quick and effective to say, hey, reset. So yeah, most definitely reset your horse and that will be the best way to get your horse to reconnect.
Okay, I've got a question on lunging from Natasha. Lunging, she finds it boring and pointless. She's sure it has benefits for her, but it just doesn't feel right. She does it to get her horse to sting and balanced. He can pig breathe back and sometimes when he's anxious. But is there a better way to achieve this with groundwork that will help with ridden work as well?
Yeah, most definitely. And I can see, you know, what you mean. A lunging can be boring and sometimes pointless, especially if it's done in a way where the horse is just kind of running circles, holding onto a hard thought or looking to the outside. I guess what I mean by holding onto a hard thought, I see someone run a horse around in a circle and the horse doesn't feel any better, and oftentimes they feel a little worse. But in the person's eyes, I guess they're sort of exercising the horse or, you know, using up that extra, what they call excited energy. But if they sort of really understood it, it's a lot of it's just anxious energy. And all the horse, it's not the energy you're trying to sort of wear out of the horse. It's the anxiety you're trying to sort of take away so the horse is not so anxious. And oftentimes, you know, thinking that you're wearing them out is only making them more anxious because, you know, some horses can run a long way. And you know, I've had many a person tell me at clinics that, you know, or even in questions that, I did the 20 minutes, but the horse never felt any better at the end of it of running it around. And that's why in a lot of cases it is pointless. And you've got to remember a circle, a bigger circle around you on a long lunge line to a horse, it doesn't have a start and it doesn't have an end. So that's why horses can zone out a lot and they lose interest on that inside rein. So you basically teach them to, you know, lose interest on the inside rein, which means they start to not follow that inside rein. So, lunging done well can be okay, but done bad can not be good for a horse at all. So to break it up a bit, you've just got to be a little creative with your lunging. So you've got to, look at things that can help your horse balance. So, you know, a lot of performance trainers and different trainers, you know, that when they go out and they want a horse to learn to steer better, they tend to do corners or, you know, squares or anything like that, and to get a horse to balance better. And also the idea with that sort of stuff is the horse is following a feel to a new direction. So there's a bit more of a meaning to it, to the horse. So the horse, you can let off that rein a little, give it a straight line and then put a corner in it. So something you start doing if you're sending your horse out on a sort of lead rope or a longer line is you can start to send it out, teach it to do straight lines. So I encourage the horse when it's thinking to the outside little is to go in a straight line, and then I might allow it to go straight. I'll follow it up a little, then I'll put an inside corner on in there so the horse turns to the inside, does another straight line, and I might get it coming in and out. Then I might lead that horse in and lead it close around me. So I've got a real close short rein on it, and I'll just maybe put a little inside feel and do some hindquarter yield. So the horse starts to loosen up, bend to the inside a little, loosen through its, you know, think to the inside, loosen through the jaw, the neck, and through its body, and just start to, you know, yield the hips out softly. I can just do some forwards and backwards in hand just to get the horse nice and loose and calm, and a lot softer. And then you can do also trotting and stuff to get a bit of exercise. Say, for instance, your horse is a little bit kind of tight when you first saddle it, then basically you can start to sort of, you know, when I send it out on a long line and I do a U-turn, I'll send the horse out, I'll do a U-turn, and as that horse has done it, I'll send the horse out and I'll kind of turn around, walk the other way, so that horse will do a U-turn on the end of the line, then be a long way from me, and I'll sort of use that as a chance to lead the horse up. So I'll just keep calling the rope quicker, and that horse follows the feel of the rope up to me at a trot, and then you can send it past at a trot and just set it to sort of, you know, so you can practice a lot of, you know, transitions in gait, as in slow walk to fast walk, and then walk to trot and things like that, and just keep the horse, you know, thinking on your ideas and tuning into you, so it's not zoning out. So that could be through all that steering and the body control and also the change of paces and things like that. But you really got to address and assess that your horse is really thinking about what it's doing and thinking about what you're asking it. So it's got its attention on you, but not full attention, that it's not thinking about where it's going. It's still kind of a, you know, tuning into you, but, you know, balanced in what it's doing. So yeah, most definitely, just make the lunging more creative. Yeah, but and you'll get a lot of value out of it.
I've got another question that's a little bit related to lunging here from Scylla. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She's got an off-the-track thoroughbred gelding that she's been trying to start or restart him, sorry. And so far, all she's been doing is lunging, but he's been pulling flat out like a train. He stops, does a little rear and pins his ears back and then charges striking. So she's aware that that hasn't helped. Any other questions? She's not a lunging fan. Any other suggestions? Sorry.
Well, the sound horse is not a lunging fan either. So, a lot of lunging and a lot of lunging, you see whether what discipline, you know, the person is. A lot of lunging, people seem to be sending their energy into the horse and pinging it out in a circle around them. So what happens is it gives the horse quite a bad feeling, because it's the same feeling as of another alpha horse kind of pushing it away. So it most automatically starts a negative feeling in the horse, because you're directing your energies at the horse to say go away, and that's the thing I see a lot that makes horses quite upset and aggravated and run off, like you're saying, is because, and then they turn around and get angry, because you're challenging them with energy, and it looks like you're trying to, you know, pick a fight, I suppose, because you're putting your energy in them, just like a horse would go in to push another horse. So that's what causes all that. So something I would really encourage, you can still get your horse confident. So if a horse is bad at lunging, I won't say to someone, never lunge again. I'll say, let's just get this horse in this position that it usually thinks is pretty ordinary and gets upset about, and let's see if we can make it feel good in that sort of, you know, in lunging. So basically I set up lunging so the horse is following a feel. So I might start it as them just leading by my shoulder and leading around me, and I might stand in the saddle, so at the center, and I just pivot in one spot, and the horse just leads quietly around me in a short lead rope until the horse can lead a circle around me and just soften and feel comfortable about walking a circle around me, just following the feel of the lead rope. And then when the horse is doing that, you find they'll start to carry a nice forward thought, and then you might just kind of let that rope out, and they just might go out to the end of the rope. Because you didn't ask them with energy, they're only going to go out at the speed that you sort of let them out on. And then you just let them go out. And if it's a horse that wants to think to the outside and wants to leave a little, don't worry about that. Don't think, oh no, my horse is not looking into the circle, it's the end of the world. Just leave it a bit of rein and just let that long rein go out and follow the horse a little, and follow it in a straight line or to the outside. You might follow it for 10 meters or something. And so the horse is kind of like, well, I've thought out there and I've gone towards my thoughts. I've ticked that off my bucket list. And then you say, okay, now I'm going to take over leadership and I'm going to walk backwards or turn around and take that rope and walk away. And that horse just to find the end of the rope and just follow you when you walk away. And then as you're walking away, you roll that rope up and the horse comes back up to you, and you might do a little circle around you again on a close lead. And then you might just send that horse out on a straight line again, and it goes out to the end of the rope, or you follow it a little bit and then offer at the end of the rope. But as long as that horse gets to the end of the rope, does a complete turn, so it means something to the horse. It's not just like an endless circle, like an endless straight line around, around, around. The horse is, you know, gets to the end of the rope and then turns around and goes, oh, new direction. So you get a stronger thought change in the rein. So the horse starts to get interested in that rein and turn, and you just send it out and then back to you. And what it would look like is, you know your plants better than I do, Jenny. What's a flower with pointy petals? What would be a flower that's got pointy petals, not round, big round petals? Like, you know, if you looked at a clover leaf, you'd look at a big round kind of shape like that. But you imagine a flower that's got pointy petals, and the horse goes out and does a U-turn and comes back, and you're that center, you're like, you know, where the pollen would be in the center of the flower, and the horse might just do a circle softly around there, then send it out on a pointy circle and come back until that horse is sending out and turning back soft at a walk, sending out, turning back soft. And you do that in both directions till you've got both reins working really nice. And then what happens is from that, you could send the horse out, and then instead of having a pointy petaled flower sort of shape, you could start to do like a clover leaf shape where the horse goes out and does a more of a bigger sort of a wider arc, and then comes back into the center. Maybe he can go through past you in the center, go out and do another circle, like another arc out there, and come back around. Or you could do a little tight circle around you, and in that tight circle, that's when I work on some body control, like little soft hind quarter yields and stuff, and then send the horse out on another big arc, and until eventually you could actually send the horse out and it could track a circle out wide all the way around you nice and soft, because it's starting to get interested and hook onto that inside rein in a way that it's actually happy to follow it. And you don't do any of that at the trot until your horse is comfortable at the walk. So, you know, you're not going to send a horse out and make it go fast if you're having the means to steer it back. So you know, and for both of these questions, that little, you know, pattern of the flower and the clover leaf and all those sort of things like that, it's just the tightness of the turn you're looking at, you know. So and for both of you guys, it's going to work.
Next question is also about an off the track thoroughbred. It's about feeding time. Joanne has a head tossing 6-year-old who loves his hay treat in the evening. He lives in a small grass paddock. We walk his hay into his paddock and place it on the grass. He tosses his head and gets very pushy on the 15-step walk from the hay feed shed to the hay spot. Feeling a little anxious, and I have to push him away. He can even gesture to take a nip. Either he's very hungry, but he is in good condition. Is he just feeling boss in his paddock? Have you got any tips on staying safe?
Yeah, he's probably getting a little too close to you at holding the hay, and he's assuming that he owns the hay while you've still got it. So in a lot of lessons with horses, it's important that you sort of give them clarity by just offering them some responsibility. Now, you know, a lot of times in any training I see, and it's just anything from some horse, you know, walking under saddle to just standing quietly when you saddle it or something like that, is a lot of times it's very easy to get into a habit of micro managing. Or another way would be, I call it helicopter horsemanship, is where like you know, we hear the term helicopter parenting, where the parents are kind of following the kids around all the time, saying don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this, and the kid never gets a chance to search and find its own boundaries and stuff like that. So it's much the same in horse training. You've got to look at that scenario, and so like I'm big on trying to teach people to understand how to hand over responsibility to their horses, so the horse knows where it stands and it becomes more responsible, but it also becomes happier because you're not interfering with it all the time. So in that yard situation where the horse is wanting to, you know, barge in and maybe get that hay and start to get a bit aggressive, is you can sort of maybe set up a situation, and like I said, you know, to distract the horse, I use a flag. So for a little bit of time there, you might just have a sort of a hard bit of plastic on a stick or something, because a horse is starting to challenge you like that. If you start getting in and getting big and running at them and stuff like that, you might pick a fight you don't want to, you know, in your horse that you don't really want to get into. So I would use something else to sort of change the horse's thought, but set yourself up a boundary that's clear, that when you bring that hay in, it's not your horse's hay until you've left that area and handed it over to your horse. Okay, so if as soon as you walk in the yard or where you're feeding your horse and you see that horse's thoughts come towards you, like it wants the hay, you change that horse's thoughts straight away and say no. So you might bang that flag and say no, I want that thought changed. So set up a boundary where your horse is at least maybe 5 meters away from you, and don't come any closer while I've got the hay, because if you set your boundary up like only 1 meter away from you, it's a little bit too close and the horse is a little too close, and if he's getting to that stage, he's getting nippy. That nip's still available when he doesn't understand how to control his emotions and things like that. So I would set a larger boundary and say, I own the hay. And when you see that thought, watch his thoughts closely. Don't wait till he gets in there and blame him and then chase him out. Watch his thoughts a little closer. And when he starts to hone in on you and that hay, like he wants that hay, then you quickly distract that thought and then just stand quietly with the hay and strong. And just don't move anywhere with that hay until he sort of understands that. And you take one step at a time carefully to where you're going to feed him. And every time he has that hard thought that says, I'm going to get in, and you just distract it. And it's going to make him bother a little bit because he's out there away from you, he's not close enough to do any sort of, you know, things that as dangerous he would be if he was only a meter away from you. So, and then you'll basically set that up clear every day that when I go in and feed you, it's my hay until I hand it over, so he stops questioning and wondering. So he's just suffering from anxiety due to sort of lack of clarity, and he's in the future. So you've got to sort of give him his responsibility so he knows that, and then he won't be stressed so much. And he knows that when you walk in, you'll put the hay on the ground, you walk away from it, and then it's his. If you're clear about that every day, you'll find that he'll understand that, and he'll be fine about it. It'd be much like a horse waiting there for a few scraps of hay. And when one horse goes, okay, well, you can come over and eat with me now, or I'm going to leave that hay and go to another one, then that horse will come in. But sometimes that's their hay until they say otherwise, I guess. And that's what you've got to sort of see it. And that'll certainly, you know, send him in the right direction, I think.
Okay, great. I've got a question next from Catherine. She brought her horse Romeo to the clinic recently when you were up in the Sunshine Coast. Catherine says that Romeo is hard to catch, as you know, and in the arena it's relatively easy. She's been getting him into the round yard to catch him first. Once he's in there, she's been using the flag to get his attention on her. She lets him sniff the flag, then she walks away with purpose. She repeats that until he lets her touch him. Then she adds the flag resting on his body. She repeats that sort of scenario until she can get the rope over his neck. And then eventually she puts the halter on. And she's been doing this almost daily since the clinic, but she hasn't seen any great improvement. And it can still take 30 minutes. Have you got any suggestions?
Yeah. So... with the flag, don't make the catching lesson don't get him associated with the flag so much so, as in what I mean, like, you know, don't get him distracted and bring his thoughts to the flag, to sniff the flag, because it's not the flag so much. It's not about the flag. It's about your sort of connection with him. And I'll use a flag or I'll use something to distract a horse, but it's not to distract them back to the flag so they sniff the flag, because he'll might be sniffing the flag, but he's still worried about you going and catching him, see? So he might connect with the flag and then still be bothered by your, you know, aura or whatever it is that you're coming in with, because that's the time, you know, once he knows he's caught, but when he's been out in the paddock all night or for a couple of days, he's going to go, right, this is my opportunity, and he's been a horse for a while, and then he, you know, tells you what he feels. So it's important you distract him. And, like, there's a couple of things, and it's a hard one, because sometimes I'll put a catch on him firmer than a soft pressure release catch in some horses, and I'll walk up to him and I'll put a little pressure as I'm walking up to them, and they'll sort of get a little anxious. But I'm gonna say I'm trying to do an honest catch. So I'm trying to really do an honest. I'm gonna catch you, and the horse goes oh, and they get a little nervous, and you go in and you get them to sniff on you. You might touch them, and then you walk away quick and go right. I've done it. Thanks for the catch.
That's all I wanted. And then because I think he's going through this cycle of worrying about the catch every time you do it. And the quicker sometimes you do it, but you don't do anything with it, the more he goes, oh, was that it? You just walked up to me. And I'm not scared of you walking up strong. I'm not scared of you walking up in just a normal way. Oh, okay. So maybe get his attention, walk up to him, and he may run off a little, but you can keep that kind of little bit of walk and pressure on him until he thinks back to you again, and then you just soften a little and then walk straight up again. And and it's not a sort of lesson for anyone else and other listeners out there that you're going to be doing with a wild horse or anything like that, that where, you know, you want with a wild horse, you're really listening to every little change of thought, whether it be looking away, thinking towards you, you know, going into their shell a little bit. I'm not talking about that sort of scenario. I'm talking about trying to get a horse that's been trained by people and got a really bad feeling to start getting over the catching process. And I think sometimes the longer you sort of linger on that catching process and the longer you, you know, listen to your horse sometimes, which is a really important thing, but in some horses, you know, that long lingering sort of pressure release, slow pressure release, sometimes only sets them up for something to go wrong when they get a little anxious or something else happens. So I'd be trying to somehow set it up that you get your horse's attention, but attention to you and what you're doing, not to the flag. Don't bypass his thoughts to the flag. Don't make it be about the flag and what he's sniffing on the, you know, sniffing the flag. It's about him paying attention to you and what you're doing, so he's aware of what you're doing. So once he's aware of what you're doing, I just walk up normal to him, and he may spin off a little because he might be used to you walking up a little careful, being, you know, approach and retreat kind of thing. But I just stay with him in that small yard until he sort of stops and thinks, and then I just back off a little, then I'd walk up again, and then I'd put a catch on him and let him go again, and I'd do that, and I might put that catch on him 20 times in one session, as in 20 times it might only be, you know, take you half an hour or 20 minutes, but that's 20 catches he's just had to go through, and he goes, oh, until each one of those catches, till it gets better and better. But I'm guessing too, just by saying that, I just had another thought, which was, I guess once you get the first catch on him, every catch after that is easy. But maybe, so what you want to do is put that catch on him, let him go, come and do it again and again, and then just go out, have a cup of tea, come back and go, I'm going to put that catch on you again. And just till he starts to go, oh, right. Okay, I got through that pretty easy, and that wasn't so bad. And the more he gets that a good experience out of it, the better the catch will become. But I'm thinking he's got to get used to that little bit of extra pressure you're walking in normally, and him not being worried about that or having to do something. But yeah, you want to just add up a lot of catches. So instead of one each day, you want to maybe, you know, 10 each day kind of thing. For it. And then at least in a month, you know, if you count it up, say if you only did 5 days a week, that's 50 a week, and you know you're starting to really help him out a bit more. So it's just like the amount of transitions. You know, sometimes when someone wants to do a candle lead change, or they're trying to teach their horse to back up in a certain way, or they might do that transition hundreds and thousands of times just to get it right. And if catching is a really bad transition for him, going from paddock to catching to being caught, then, and it's a transition that really bothers him, because really it's just another transition, then you've got to treat it as if it's a flying lead change, and you've got to say, well, maybe I need to sort of really do this and add more transitions up that are positive. And if you can stack more of those positive transitions up, you'll find it will make a change. But I feel your pain, because I know what he's like, and I know how much you like him and how well you're doing with him, just to have that one area that he's still really bothered. But, yeah, focus more on you than the flag, and make the experience get make it a quicker experience that gets done and dusted, and then do it again until he kind of goes, oh, Oh, that's not so bad.
Is it?
Yeah, also anyway, good luck with it.
Is it also important that with that one, once you've got him, once you've caught him and you're on, you know, you take it off, you have a break before the next, like how much of a break in between each catch? You sort of said, you know, to give him his own, you give him
enough. Yeah, it depends on the horse because with him, like I had a horse recently that, not recently, it was actually on the Sunshine Coast, another horse that was a traumatised horse in the slow, long, lingering, careful, thoughtful catch where you're sort of reading their body language and being a real guru, kind of made the horse go, I'm more nervous and I know what humans do to me, so don't play this game. And I could see it in the horse, and I had this gut feel that this horse was getting, you know, playing the long lingering game. And so I went in and I said, I'm going to put a quick catch on this horse. And I walked up with a lot of strength, and the horse got a bit of a shock. But then when the horse sort of sucked off me, I sucked back a little, and then it came into my conversation again. And after three catches, it really softened. But with that particular horse, I could go in and have the same nervous effect two or three times, one after the other. And then you'd give your horse a bit of a break for you know, it all depends on the horse, whether it's 10 minutes or an hour. But sometimes a horse, if you give it a 1 minute break, for instance, it's still at the same place you left it when you caught it, as in when it actually accepted the catch. Whereas but you sort of want to give it a long enough break that when you go in again, the catch is a little new to it, so you've got that transition that they struggle with, like you'd have the next morning. So and it may only mean you go away for a minute that you get that change, or you may need to go away for an hour and come back, so the horse resets back into its old self and you go through that experience again until you can leave the horse an hour, and that experience is a positive experience. But I guess two tight. There's two sort of breaks you'd give. You give a short break, so you go in and out to get a lot of positive experiences without that, without the horse turning off to that positive experience. And then you give the horse a long enough break so the horse resets back into its old self. So you're catching the horse when it's anxious, if you can understand that.
Yes, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, the last question this fortnight is from Jakara. She has a horse who you suggested not to take out to events because his anxiety hasn't been fixed, but at home he is amazing. And she hasn't had trouble with his anxiety at home. So she's been taking him to Glen Seal, where it's still nice and quiet, but there's a little bit of anxiety that she can help him through. But just recently, after a really nice, calm ride in the arena there, someone started lunging their very anxious horse in the round yard, flat chat, and her horse just got really anxious. He started prancing on the spot, his tail was up, and very loud snorts. She tried to get his attention back. He was very light on the lead, so she sort of got the impression that he was listening, but he had a lot of trouble letting go of that horse that was being lunged. Eventually, she got him to a point where he could stand still, and she stayed grounded for a while. But he ended up so worried, he ended up with squeaky hiccups. So basically, he went from really calm to explosive in a matter of a couple of minutes. She asked, what would you have done if you were me? Was there a better way that I could have handled this situation?
Yeah. You know, hindsight, you never really quite know what's the right thing to do, because, you know, what you did, taking the horse away, sometimes taking a horse a little further away from the thing that's really bothering it does help the horses. In other cases, because the horse doesn't understand what's happening, it panics more and it still gets fixated on it. And some of those horses sometimes need to get a little closer to go, oh, I can kind of understand that, what's happening over there. Unless it was kind of like an ostrich or something that the horse had never seen, and either way, it's going to be petrified of it. So, so there's right decisions in taking a horse away, and then there's also right decisions in going, look, I know you're not sure about that, but some horses actually, when they get a little closer, they kind of have a closer look and they focus on it and they start to analyze it a bit and they go, oh, maybe it's not as bad as it was. But, you know, that's basically in your own hands. That's kind of an experiment you do because it can be what's right for one horse is not right for the other. So, you know, you could have maybe tried to take the horse to that end of the arena where it is and maybe he would have went, oh, okay, right, maybe it's not as scary. But when I was over there, it was just too far and I couldn't really figure it out. I got more scared. So in that respect, you know, in respect, if you take them away or put them closer, you know, you just got to take a risk and try one and the other. But in you know, but by the sounds of it, because he was, you know, listening to the feel good, then that's good. It's, you know, you've put some tools in there that at least you can maintain a little control on him, so he's not running off. He's more confident with the halter and things like that. So that's a positive. But you know, somehow, really, in there, I think what I do is I would understand, and this is the learning of learning how to be a horse person, I suppose, is knowing the right amount of pressure at the right time. And when a horse is, you know, completely off its chops, it's really, you know, hard to go, oh, okay, is this the right amount of pressure, or am I going to send it further off, you know, off the radar? So, so I would tend to probably go to getting big enough to get a say, hey, I'm more important than that right now, and I would just get a bigger thought change. Because when a horse is really fixated on something it really doesn't understand, you've got to do something big enough to bring its thoughts off that. And I've had good experiences where I've had horses that pretty well were really out there. I mean, really out there. And I've just put the right amount of pressure at the right time where I've snapped them out of it. And then they've sort of had a reset. And then I've got them back to earth. And then it's say, now follow my feel over here and we're going to go away. So sometimes you've got to reset them a little bit. So if you're going to take the horse away from what it's scared of, is maybe reset it first, to give it a big reset, and then say, let's go over here, let's go away, and you connect with me, okay? And really, at the end of the day, you're just trying to get that horse to reset and reconnect with you. You know, you wouldn't go moving its feet around and doing all this other stuff in that sense, because it just would be too much information, and you'd end up, you know, damaging your horse more, I guess. But yeah, I think Jakari, you know, I guess it's the right type of distraction. And as I say, it's got to be big enough to override how big that scary thing in the round yard is. And that's how you deal with it. But I can understand, because I know how he gets a little like that and how difficult it can be. And I wish it was easy in some respects, but it's not always that easy. But yeah, just get big enough that it's bigger than what he's fixated on.
Okay, that's it.
Not big towards him. I mean, just, you know, thrashing.
Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks, Mark. And just thanks to all our members for the great questions again. And we'll see you in a fortnight.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks to everyone for your questions.